Isaiah chapter number 41. Good to see all of you here tonight. Glad you came out. Good to see the bus kids getting on the bus and getting here on a Wednesday night. Keep praying that both buses will be able to get a larger crowd of riders on Wednesday night. Don't forget, this Sunday is our anniversary service. We have 66 anniversaries here at the church. And bring a meal to put together so we can fellowship, celebrate 66 years of operation here at Lock Haven Baptist Church on the property here. See if we cannot get some visitors out. Don't forget visitation Saturday. If you can't make it, make sure you take some traps. Have them with you. Get them out. Get the word out. Be excited about inviting folks to church. I mean, we need one another, and they need the gospel. If they're lost, and if they're not in church, they're unchurched or out of church, backslid, they need a good church that they can grow with. And so invite them. Talk to them. Get those tracts out so we can be faithful with that. It looks like we have several out sick tonight. I'm noticing I don't see many that should be here now. So be in prayer for them. I was not here at prayer time. I was with the teenagers over in Youth Zone. And so be in prayer with them. Good to see you, Brother Jimmy. Did you have a good, safe week? You had a good, safe week so far? Yeah, good to see you tonight. All right. I hope... many of you did not stay up all night long. Some of you probably did, so you're probably tired. The kids were doing a brain teaser, and something would pop up on the screen, and one of the things was they had to imitate Pastor. And so they did. That was the one. They did it quickly. All the other ones, I mean, even like making the Chewbacca sound. They had to think about that one, or making an imitation of Donald Duck. They had to think about it. As soon as it said, imitate Pastor, I mean, every one of them had something they wanted to imitate. And the boys, they do the best. They really do. And they were talking about how sometimes I tell y'all to go to the wrong place. Guess what, boys? I'm in the wrong place. I'm over here in Luke, and I told y'all to be in Isaiah. And I said, it's easy to do if you can't read your writing. So I pulled out my little notes here. And they said, why in the world does it take you so long to go through that little bit? They were amazed that it takes me long to go through five little bullet comments. And one of them had the perfect answer. He said he's always chasing rabbits. Isaiah chapter number 41. Well, I know some of you are excited, some of you may be disappointed about some things. And yesterday, I went and voted yesterday morning. I always wait till election day, and I do it on election day. Looked it over my ballot. There were some things and people that I voted for that didn't go through. And, you know, it's sometimes disheartened, you know, when those things take place. And today when I was over at Brother Bob's shop, over Brother Bob's son Mike killed a deer and called me over and gave me the deer, brought it down from Georgia and gave it to me. And I was over, I was talking with him, and there was a black lady came in, and she was talking to Brother Bob. It sounded like she rents from him, one of those storage buildings. Must have known him for years, because they had a good conversation, just a friendly conversation. And they began to talk about, of course, the election. It's the day after. And she says, you know, I work at the polls. I've worked at the polls 20 years now. I'm a registered Democrat, but this year I voted for a Republican sheriff. Scalarky's his name down here in Osceola County. Skylark, Scalary, that one. They voted for him. And she said, "That hurt me worse than any person I've ever voted for that he didn't get it." You know, I'm not from Osceola County, so I didn't follow it up. But she was bothered that her local candidate that she didn't, you know, of course it gets bigger than that, all the way up through presidency and things of that nature. And there's a lot of folks that's truly bothered about what happened. I'm not one of them, so you know that. I'm not. But there are folks. And as a pastor, I know I have to pastor people that may have voted certain ways. And so I want you to know that we love you. Election's over. God's still on the throne. And we've got a lot of work to do. A lot of work. I know that the Republicans got the Senate, the House, and governorships, and presidency. But dear friend, we've got a God in heaven. God's in control, and that's what I want to talk to you tonight. Now, just for a little bit, I promise you, I will not chase any rabbits tonight. I will not. Isaiah 41:10. The Bible says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Now, either way it goes, if your candidate got elected or didn't get elected, God is still in control. And I want our church to know that. And I want you to understand that elections don't change God. Who's sitting up there don't change God. Whether it's local, whether it's state, county, God is in control. And God has a plan for our church, for our lives. Tonight I talked to the teenagers over there in the youth zone about doing things on purpose. And I told them Boaz left handfuls of grain on purpose. Three Hebrew children and Daniel purposed in their heart that they wouldn't defile themselves with the king's meat. We as a church have to be purposely working for God, laboring together, striving together. Now that means in the midst of conversation, if you find out that somebody voted some way that you didn't particularly like, we still need unity. We still need to pray. You know, we had our October month. We prayed every day as a church about our country, about our nation, and about the different areas of our nation. And we need to continue that. Just because it's over doesn't mean we don't need to continue. We need to follow through on our prayer. But we need to understand that God is in control. God owns this world which we live in. Now I know there's powers in the air, and there's principalities and all kind of stuff working beyond and spiritual battles, but God owns the world. Look at Psalms chapter 24. Psalms chapter number 24. In verse number 1. The Bible says in Psalms 24:1, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world," and this is what it says, "and they that dwell therein." This world's the Lord's. He owns it. It's His. He's in control. He is God. And this world is His. Doesn't matter what political things take place in the world. Doesn't matter who is voting which way or that way or whatever. It all boils down to this. We've got to know that our God is sovereign. That our God is in control. And that whatever takes place here on earth, it's His. This world, He owns it. And all that, it's very plain. And they that dwell, that's including those lost folks. Now the good thing about you and I, He owns us doubly. By creation and by redemption, if we're saved tonight, we're doubly His. He owns it. I mean, He has possessed, He has bought us off the block of sin, redeemed us back, and not only does He own us now doubly, He lives within us. God's in control. This world is God's. Look at Psalms chapter 103. Psalms chapter 103. In verse number 19. Psalms chapter 103 and verse number 19. So God's in control. God owns this world. And not only does He just own it, dear friend, this verse here says that He rules this world. Verse number 19, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. You know, there's a lot of folks that own things, and then they hire somebody else to oversee it and watch over it. God rules this world. There's nothing that happens that comes through into our life, into our church, into our family's life, without it passing through the one that is in charge. He rules it. He oversees it. The little gods don't replace God. He doesn't wake up one morning and wonder, why is there all these little bitty gods gathered around trying to dethrone Him? He rules. He set His kingdom up. He rules over this world. He is in charge. You say, man, the devil sure is running rampant just for a little while. It's coming to an end for the devil. Hey, he's only allowed by God to do what's going on right now and to oppress and suppress and to wreak havoc upon this earth. It's only for the Lord. God rules. Not only does He rule, dear friend, it's one thing to, you know, to be up in Washington, D.C. or up in Tallahassee and you oversee a state or the nation and you are the person that's in charge and you rule it. You know as well as the government has done got way too big and out of hand. Federal, state, and local governments, way too big. Way too big. You know, I told you I wouldn't chase no rabbits, but it's too big. Way too big. They can't even manage everything because it's so big. That's why you have all this corruption, because it's so big. But that's not how it is with God. God not only owns the world, He not only rules the world. I'm telling you, dear friend, God manages the world. Go with me to Daniel. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5, verse number 21. How about verse 20? Let's start in verse 20. Daniel chapter 5. God is in control, church. Daniel chapter 5. Verse number 20. The Bible says there in Daniel chapter 5, verse 20, but when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from the kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Verse 21, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling place was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High God did what? Ruled in the kingdom of men. And that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. So this is what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He said, you knew all this. You knew I put Nebuchadnezzar out there like a wild person. You knew he walked into the garden and said, look what I've done. I made it. And God says, you knew all this. Look at verse 23. But has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought thy vessels of his house before thee. Thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and God, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. And then, of course, the hand comes on, writes on the wall. And he's told there in verse 27, thou art weighed and balanced and art found wanting. So God manages. He not only rules. And this is the scary part, that this young man would know what happened, and he did not heed God's power. Well, you've got to be careful. What took place yesterday was the grace and mercy of God and God alone. God had mercy one more time on America. God has reached down into the hearts of our country and He's changed things a little bit. He's stopped and waved back a little bit so that we might do something for Him. And we can do just like Belshazzar. We can back off and we can say, wow, that was amazing. And later on, pull out the things of God. Just like he did here in verse 23. Praise the gods and say, well, listen, we better get back this Bible. In America, we better get back to godly fear and godly love for one another, for souls. I mean, we better, as a church, being doubly bought. Hey, he's in control. He owns the world. He rules the world. And not only does he rule it, he manages it. I mean, he came down here and he managed the affairs of a kingdom. Not only once, twice. He managed the affairs. And he moved them, looked and said, you've been found wanting. You know, the churches in Revelation, seven churches over there, and God gives indictment after indictment after indictment. God's a God of order. God's, I mean, He's not just up there in heaven, you know, just like having some kind of tea party with Gabriel. He is looking down upon the things and the happenings of this world, and he's saying, I gave my only begotten Son who suffered a shameful sacrifice for your redemption, and you're trifling upon the blood of Christ. He touched our economy pretty hard about 10 years ago, didn't he? Now we're in a country where there's how many trillions? Some of you probably know down to the penny. $19.7 trillion in debt or something like that. Probably by the time we get out of here, maybe $20 trillion. I can't fathom that. Hey, we went down that path because God allowed it to get our attention. And people all across America prayed and fasted and sought God's face for October. And God worked something. God will show up again, and He'll weigh us, and He'll find us wanting, And dear friend, America could have bigger problems than we could ever imagine 10 years ago. God's in control. Don't think, oh, well, my party got elected, my guy got in, my woman got in, and everything's going to be okay. Don't get to thinking down that road. Now, God does some wonderful things. Look at Romans chapter number 13. Romans chapter 13. Now, as we read Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, I want you to understand on here, and in context of this here passage we're about to read, it doesn't say if they're a good government, godly government, or otherwise. It doesn't say if they're a bad government, if they're one that is First Amendment friendly, Second Amendment friendly. It doesn't say that in this here passage. This is God's word we're talking about, church. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause, pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon these very things. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom the government we had for the last 8 years, they wasn't there by chance. They were there because God put them there. The government we're going to have the next 4 years, they're there because God put them there. And we as a church, we as God's people, we need to pray fervently for our governor, our senators, our councilmen, our statesmen, our president, our vice president, and the cabinet that is put up by him. And we should have been praying the same with fervence the last 8 years. Just that way. That God would keep their hearts in line with his will and his thought because he placed them there. Now listen, God's in control. God owns this world. God rules this world. He manages this world. And God works through the rulers that he chooses. Now, listen, we talked for a month on this election thing. Get out and vote. Get your freedom. Vote. Everybody do your civic duty. Vote. 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 The one that's in is there because God moved in the hearts of people to vote the way they did. And we have it. Now, church, we've got to pray and submit ourselves to the authority that is over us as long as it does not ever usurp God's authority. This is God's plan. God has set it up. And listen, here's the last thought. God gets done what he wants to get done. Whether it's Nebuchadnezzar, whether it's Belshazzar, whether it's Ahaziah, whether it's Caesar, whether it was Herod, or whether it was Barack Obama, or whether it's going to be Donald Trump, God gets done what he wants to get done because God's in control. You know the Bible says, last verse, and we're done, Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Who was the king over Egypt that hardened his heart? Pharaoh. Have you ever looked at that? That was still God's plan. And in the midst of all that story, the mercy of God. Plague 1, plague 2, plague 3, plague 4, plague 5, plague 6, plague 7, plague 8, plague 9. 10 times the grace of God. 9 times, then the 10th time, that was all God. God worked in that situation. See, God has been merciful, been gracious to us. What I'm saying, church, is that be more excited about the God of heaven than you are the politician that you voted in this morning. Because God's will be done. And if things don't work out in 4 years and it changes again, the same God that's been God since 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, all those years, it didn't faze God. Didn't faze God. God was there. Hey, people got saved. Churches got started. God's plan went right on. Families got put back together. Young kids got their lives right. Whoremongers quit whoremonging around. All in the midst of what was a pretty bad government, right? And we can agree. I'm just going to be honest with you. When Jimmy Carter was president, God still saved people. Great Depression, read about stores, no money. Guess what? People still getting saved. Families still put together. See, it's not about the government. This is about God. And the government is a tool that God has placed for his use. And we got to remember, everything that took place yesterday, we as God's people, with the Word of God, we know it wasn't about a ground game or a movement. It was by the hand of God. And we've got to remember that and stay busy. I'm calling you, pray for our government, local, state, and federal. I mean, especially local. I mean, we see these rascals and these scallions, what they do around here all the time. So we need to pray for them because we see the results firsthand. All that other stuff trickles down. We need to pray fervently. They make decisions around here that are not godly at all. We need to be in prayer. And subject ourselves under the hand of God, saying, God. And I'm not going to go into it, but look up in your Bible, in your Google, your phone, or your Bible program, whatever you do, about those that were in Caesar's household. Just that term, Caesar's household. And you get the history behind Caesar, behind Rome, and you figure out who was there and see what God was doing. God did it in Caesar's household. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we love you.